verses. But today we celebrate the resurrection. It is the story of redemption, the saving work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we make notice, we emphasize, we make it known today that this is our masterpiece. This is our foundation, that Jesus resurrected from the cross and He now lives. Even from the Old Testament in the beginning of time, we've seen the story of redemption. Today's a big day. It's a big deal that we're here today. It's a big deal that we have sung the songs that we sung, that Jesus resurrected from the dead. That's why we're excited. That's why we're rejoicing in what God has done for our life. Because it's a big deal, and it's something major in our faith. Genesis 3:15, from then we see the story of redemption. God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. From then we see the story of redemption. We also see it through Abraham, the father of faith, when he went to Mount Moriah to offer his son as a sacrifice. And God supplied the sacrifice, the story of redemption. And God showed him what Jesus was going to do at the cross. Moses with the tabernacle. We also see the different furniture and the utensils that was being used inside the tabernacle. The outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. All pointed to the redemption. All pointing to what Jesus did at the cross. We have the messianic psalms. Psalms 2, Psalms 110, Psalms 22. All speaking of redemption. We also have the major prophets. Many of them foretold of Jesus. Sharing the story or the narrative of redemption. Even from the Old Testament, we see Isaiah, one of the major prophets, the Old Testament gospel, the Old Testament evangelical. Psalms 53, he was despised and rejected, a man of many sorrows. He cried, he carried our weaknesses, and it was our sorrows that weighed him down. He was pierced for our rebellions, crushed for our sins. He was whipped and wounded for our sins, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. And by his stripes, we are healed. All the gospels point about him. They speak about him. Acts, the book of Acts, when Peter preached his sermon, first sermon after Pentecost, he preached of Jesus, the story of redemption. Even the first church, the beginnings, the first primitive church, as they went and shared the gospel, they shared the story of redemption. And all the epistles, which are the letters of the in the New Testament, the letters to the churches, they all taught and proclaimed Jesus, continuing the narrative and the story of redemption. And even in the book of Revelations, which is where he declares, Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, was giving us the narrative and the story of redemption. We have this redemption through Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. He has paid the price. He has paid a ransom because of his blood. We are here because of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And some of us, when we were distant from God, when we walked away from God, we forgot the price he paid. But today we recognize that. And today we rejoice. Not only did he die for our sins, but he resurrected on the third day. And can you thank the Lord for that today and say, thank you, Lord, that you resurrected. Now, wanted to give you that introduction to show you three symbols of redemption. I've titled my sermon just three simple words: thorns, tombs, and thrones. Thorns, tombs, and thrones. I won't go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24 speaks of when the women went to the temple and they saw the empty tomb. And the angel told them, why do you seek or look for the living amongst the dead? Jesus is not here, but he has resurrected. The resurrection speaks of life, of new beginnings, of new things. There is power in that resurrection. There are benefits in that resurrection. There are things that we are able to grasp and obtain because of the resurrection. And to see the big picture, to understand the benefits, we must see what it took for that resurrection to take place. And I begin with point number one, thorns, the price of redemption. Now, John 19:2 says that the soldiers twisted a crown and placed it on the head of Jesus. And they placed those thorns upon his head, that song that we were singing earlier. Thorns represents that price that Jesus paid, the way he suffered, the bleeding Savior, the cross in which he died on. Friday, as we spoke and as I ministered, we make memorial. We recognize what Jesus did at the cross. He paid for our sins. He died. We should have been on that cross, but Jesus took our place. When we speak of thorns, we speak of the suffering that he took for our sins, for our sufferings, for our sicknesses and our rebellion. We don't have to suffer now. We don't have to pay the price. We don't have to do what Jesus did at the cross. He paid it all, and he paid for our sins. Our job is just to receive that forgiveness and receive that redemption. But thorns also speak of, and it's a biblical reference, thorns also speak of that process of sometimes that we go through, those difficult times, even the suffering and the times of tears and the time of testing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:7 that God gave him a thorn in his flesh. And many times he asked God, would you take away this thorn? And after God not answering his prayers, he said, may your grace be sufficient for me. Thorns come in all different sizes and different I was going to say something, but I don't want to sound wrong because my wife is here. I was going to say, sometimes in a marriage, but somebody I would have said, yeah, his wife's a thorn, or, you know, my wife's a thorn too. But that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. But I'm just saying, sometimes thorns come and they attack us, and they attack our marriage. Thorns come and they attack our dreams. They attack our ambitions. We go through times where it seems that they are times of testing. Suffering. It's never easy to serve. To serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with everything within you. It takes a price. Sometimes there are times where it takes that second mile or that extra effort to serve the Lord. One of the things I appreciate about you guys or the church is that we serve God no matter what. I've seen many of you guys here after a bad report. I've seen many of you guys after going through some difficult, through a sickness or through battles at home and tough times financially. You're faithful to God. And sometimes it takes that. Thorns come. They're biblical. They're in the Bible. There's even a parable when Jesus taught on thorns. When that sower went and threw seed on the ground. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on bad ground. And some seed that fell on the ground was choked by thorns. Thorns come. Difficult times come, church. We will have battles. We will have struggles. Thorns come. But we lean on the grace of God. There's two things that are going to happen when thorns come. Like Paul, you're either going to draw closer to grace or depend on grace. Or like that seed that fell on the ground, you'll be choked. Your faith will be choked. Your dreams will be choked. Your goals will be choked. Instead of running to God, sometimes when thorns come or battles come or storms come, we run away from God. I know that that's not y'all. But learn to depend on His grace when difficult times come. Thorns will come, but His grace is sufficient for us. How many say amen? Tomb. Thorns, tomb. Tomb was the place of redemption, was the place where Jesus died and resurrected. It's the place where they placed his body. And we experience, or we saw, or we see the power of the resurrection. Now, all the prophets, every major prophet of every religion, Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, every other prophet of every major religion, go to their tombs and their bones are still there. But some of you, if any of you have ever gone to Jerusalem, go to the tomb of Jesus right now and there is no body. There is no bones. Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus resurrected on the third day. The tomb is empty. Jesus is no longer in the tomb, but he lives and he reigns. And how many thank God for that, that he has come out of the tomb. Tomb represents the darkest moments of your life. But even in your darkest moments, there is still the power of the resurrection. You could arise and you could get up. Here's my issue with sometimes when people say, Pastor, it's just too hard. I just can't make it. It's just, you know, Pastor, you know, it's not as easy as you think. Pastor, it's because the flesh is weak. Pastor, it's because when I went through this, when this happened in my family, when this happened in my home, I couldn't get up. I lost my job and I couldn't find another one. I lost a loved one and I can't experience joy anymore. I went through this divorce. I went through this disappointment. I went through this discouragement and I can't get up. Let me tell you something, church. The church will always get up. A Christian will always get up. We have the power of Christ living inside of us. That's the same power that raised him from the dead. It's the same power that you can grasp on. You can grab on today. As Jesus got up, the church of Jesus Christ, you and I could get up today from that empty tomb. How many say amen? You got to go up in Jesus' name. You got to get up. Number three, also, thorns, tombs, and thrones. The story of redemption is not just thorns. It's not just an empty tomb, but it's also a throne. Where is Jesus now? This is a position of redemption. Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, sitting on his heavenly throne. Romans 8:34. If you find this, this is some of my favorite verses. As Jesus ascended to heaven, he went and ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. You know, he was exalted. When we saw him with thorns on his head, humbled, beaten, torn apart, flogged, bleeding, humiliated, and just taken down, we thought, wow, what human being could go through that? And we saw him with the crown on his head. At the cross. But he didn't stay there. He went through death, through the tomb, and was exalted to heaven and ascended to the third heavens. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father. He's there right now. And Jesus is exalted. He is an exalted Savior. He is an exalted Christ. You know, every time you see, every time you praise him, your praises don't stay here. Your song doesn't stay upon inside these walls. Every time we lift our hands, every time we praise him, our praises go to that throne. Every time you sing a song, every time you say hallelujah, those words, that melody, that song doesn't stay in the church. It goes before the throne in the nostrils of a risen Savior. That's why every time you come to church, you should have a praise in your spirit. Every time, even though you feel tired and you've been going through difficult stuff at work and at home, every time you come to church and you lift up your hands and you lift up your praise, that praise is exalted into the heavenly throne, Christ. Every time you sing a song, that praise and that song is being lifted up and taken into the throne of heaven. People, well, Pastor, I'm just tired. I just don't feel it like this morning. It's early. It's the first service. No. In the name of Jesus, you praise him with all your heart, with all your mind. You praise him because you're the church of Jesus Christ. You're the redeemed. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. What is he doing on the throne? What is his job now? What is his position on the throne? Romans 8:34. He now sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us, or he prays for us. I like that because we see a position that Christ is praying over us. You're never alone. God is covering you with prayer. God is thinking about you. He prays for you. Some of us had a praying mom, a praying father, a praying grandmother. Maybe you don't have family. Maybe you're alone. Maybe you're here by yourself. You have a Christ. You have a risen Savior that prays for you this morning. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. I don't know how many of you guys have been in an accident. How many of you guys have been in a dangerous situation? You've been somewhere you shouldn't have been. I'm telling you, you have a Savior that prays for you. You're never alone. Now, I don't want to point at anybody here this morning, but even when we were away from God, He was praying for us. I remember, and every, I don't want to look over here because my youth pastor's wife was here, Michael's son also, but Max was my youth pastor. And we were so mean to Max when we weren't serving the Lord. Because Max would show up at the high school. Max was one of the youth pastors that would go after you. And Max would come and sit with us at lunch. And people would ask us, who is that? And is that your father? Is that a friend? Is that your uncle? That's our pastor. But I thank the Lord for him. I thank the Lord for his ministry. I had a youth pastor that prayed for me. My mother's in the other room right now in Sunday school room. My mother prayed for us. My father prayed for us. I remember many times walking at home, walking in the midnight, after midnight, walking in the wee hours of the night, and I would see my father on the sofa praying for us. Let me tell you something. Prayer works. All you mamas out there, keep praying for those children. All you grandmothers out there, keep praying for those grandchildren. Prayer works. God listens to prayer. You can, if you're away from God, if you're running from God, you may run away from church, from me, from your parents, but you can never run away from prayer. Prayer will reach you. The Holy Ghost will touch you. God will always get to you because we have a risen Savior that prays for us. We also have, He's at the right hand of the Father. Not only is He praying for us, but He's an advocate. 1 John 1:21. But if anybody sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In other words, He's our lawyer. He speaks for us. Somebody is in our corner. He's pleading our case. Well, I've messed up so much. Pastor, don't pray for them. Them people there are messy. They're problems. Or this person is just the worst one. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's saying, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's my child. These are my children. That's my church. I know they messed up, but give them another chance. I know they walked away and they shouldn't have done that, but give them another chance. I died for them. I went to the cross for them. I speak up for them. How many thank the Lord that we have an advocate with the Father. Even though you walked away and even though we've messed up and even though we did wrong, He still pleads our case and say, don't let them go down. Don't let them go to jail. Don't let them fall apart. Don't let them fall into that sin. Because they have something special before them. There is a special purpose for their life. We have an advocate with the Father. Number three also, the Bible says that Jesus, when He was with the disciples, John 14, when He told His disciples, when He was about to depart from or finish His ministry here on earth, He told His disciples, let not your heart be troubled, because I go and prepare a place for you. What is God, what is Jesus doing in heaven? He's preparing a place for us. He's saying, I have a home just for you. Some of you like your home now. Some of you don't like your home right now. It doesn't matter. He has a better home and a mansion in heaven just for you. He's preparing a place for us. Why is this dwelling place, mansion? Why does the Bible speak about this? Because He has a place for us in eternity. God doesn't just want you here on earth. He wants you forever. He prepares a place for you. All these things, all these points lead us to the story of redemption. This is why he died and resurrected. No other religion, no other prophet, no other tradition could say this. Only Christianity, only us, the Church of Jesus Christ. Lastly, some of us have grown up in church. Maybe we've served God all our life. Maybe we've been here for a long time. But Jesus resurrected to make us new. He makes us somebody new. He makes us a new person. He resurrected. And when Jesus ascended, he resurrected from the tomb, was here for a couple of days, 40 days. And then he ascended. He went to heaven. And when he went up, he sent us the Holy Spirit, the Paracletos, the one that will stand next to us, the one that will be with us. He tag teamed with the Holy Spirit. He went up, but the Holy Spirit came down. Why did he send us the Holy Spirit? To be our counselor. Not only to be our counselor. The Holy Spirit is in us to make us someone new. He resurrected because he wants to make us new. And today he's working in you. He's working in you to restore you, to lift you up, and to make you a new person. Romans 8:11 says this, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you and will give life unto you. He resurrected because he has something new for you. You're a new person. Sometimes people see your mistakes. They've seen what you've done. They see your flaws. But when the Holy Spirit works in you, he makes you a new person. One of my friends that last year came to church and in one of our outreaches, he got saved. An individual that I went to high school with. And he could not believe I was a pastor. And we were talking. He says, the last time it's been like 20 years since we saw each other. And he said, I remember the way you were in high school, the way we were back then. And he says, it's just different. It's so awesome to see the new you, the different you. And I said, that's Christ working in us. That's Christ working in you. Don't ever think you are your mistake. Or what happened at home. Or what happened last year. Or what happened in the past. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in your heart this morning. And it's working in your life to make you someone new. You are a child of God. You are a woman of God. You are a daughter of God. You are a child. You are a son of God. It doesn't matter what the devil said you are. The moment Jesus comes in your heart, the moment the Holy Spirit gets inside of you, he makes you somebody new. Receive that today. You're not your mistake. You're not your past. Christ is working in you to make you new. Number two, he resurrected not only to make a new you, a better you. He resurrected. I put on here to give you new horizons, new dreams, new ambitions. There's a pastor that I follow, Pastor Tommy Barnett out of Phoenix. Phoenix First, I listen to his sermons. I've been hearing him preach for over 20 years. Has a mega church in Phoenix, Arizona, more than 10,000 member church, and now his son pastors his church. But when he turned 65 or 64, something like that, he told his church and his congregation, I'm going to retire now because, you know, I'm up there in years. It's a big church. This church is established. And, you know, it's time to give it to someone else. I'm going to give it to my son. The church accepted that. Church was okay with that, the deacon board, the leadership. So everybody was fine with it. Everybody was okay. Then the Lord dealt with him. And the Lord told him, who said I was done with you? See, God age doesn't matter to God. He said, who said I was done with you? In prayer, God spoke to him. He says, not only am I not done with you, I want you to start a church in California. What? But we live in Phoenix. You know you had a dream for California, in Los Angeles. I want you to start a church there, a dream center, a center for drug addicts. I'm 65. Get the young people to do it. Get somebody else. I've worked all my life to get to look at the church that I have now. And God says, start over. New horizons, new limits. And at 60-something years old, he started a church, the Dream Center. Go online, look it up. Type in thedreamcenter.com. You'll see all that they're doing. All the women and little girls that they're capturing and they're rescuing from human trafficking. All the people they're pulling out of the streets. All the drug addicts that they're cleaning up. Most of their staff are ex-drug addicts and ex-gang members that they restored. And some of you saying, well, I'm done with life. I'm done with school. This didn't work for me. That didn't work for me. You know, I'm just going to just hang in there, just going to post it. God is saying, dream again. New horizons for you. The resurrection brings new ideas, brings new horizons. The resurrection brings new projects in your spirit. Lastly, just to finish, the resurrection brings new joy. I thank the Lord for that, because sometimes we go through moments, thorns, that take away our joy. The Bible says he changes our mourning, our crying, our tears into dancing, into rejoicing. Your sadness into gladness. Felt to say this morning, some of you better get ready this year. I just feel this prophetically to say it. God's about to bring joy into your life like you never imagined it. Some of you have gone through some sad moments, some moments that have brought you down. But the resurrection tells you today, get ready to laugh again. Get ready to rejoice again. Joy is coming in the morning. Today is Sunday. Joy comes in the morning. How many praise Him for that? That we have joy, unspeakable joy in Jesus Christ. Have a good day, have a good day. I've got to say to this, to you, Raymond, that the Lord is about to bring joy to you.